Hi everybody, my name is Alex and I am the student minister here at Andover Baptist Church, and it is such a privilege to be speaking to you all today and continuing on this series all about things that Jesus never said. If you've just tuned in to watching our services, maybe you're thinking, well, why does it matter what Jesus didn't say? Surely it's more important to know what he did say, and you would be right. But actually, in ironing out some misconceptions about what Jesus said and getting to the heart of what he actually did say, then we believe that we can better understand the truths of the Christian faith. So if you're watching, maybe for the first time, stay tuned with us today. Now, I wonder if you've ever heard, or maybe you've even said or thought one of the following phrases: what goes around comes around, or your past will come back to haunt you. Or even, you've made your bed, now you've got to lie in it. Or maybe you've even said, oh, well, that's just karma, which is a philosophy that's kind of found in other faiths such as Hinduism or Buddhism. And I think actually it's probably been drastically taken out of context for its use in Western society. I remember when I was younger, when I was a girl, we used to wear kind of karma bead bracelets at school because they were all the rage. But I didn't really know what karma meant. I didn't know what it was all about. But actually, I think these kind of phrases are quite common to hear. I think it's quite clear what they're getting at, because they're basically just saying that there are consequences to our actions. And that actually makes a lot of sense, and it seems quite fair, doesn't it? And I think they're probably popular concepts in our modern day society. We like to think that if we work hard or we do good things for others, that we might get rewarded for that hard work and others are going to be good to us. But we do also have a strong sense of justice. We know that if somebody breaks the law, for example, that there are consequences to that. There's a price to be paid, maybe even a sentence to serve. And equally, if we go around being unkind or harmful to others, I don't think we would expect people to be kind to us in return. And I think we're probably brought up with this basic understanding that you get what you deserve in life. However, we may think that our culture or our society is built upon this idea, but actually as we look out into the world, we see so often that it's not the way the world works all of the time, is it? We often see that people get the opposite of what they deserve, or they get what they don't deserve. There's so much injustice in the world. We often see corruption and selfishness rewarded with wealth and power. And there are just millions and millions of people all trying to make ends meet, to provide for their families and to live the best way they can, who will never see a reward for their labor. Instead, their reward is poverty and suffering. Now, although this is a painful reality, in our hearts, we know that this isn't fair. It's not right. Sadly, what goes around doesn't always come around. You don't always reap what you sow in this life. I remember kind of realizing this when I was at school. I think I was about 11 or 12 years old. And during one school holiday, we were given a history project on castles and cathedrals that I was really excited about. Now, we were all encouraged, if we could, to go and visit some castles and cathedrals and then write up our findings in a kind of presentable way, so in a bit of a project or portfolio. And during this one holiday period, I went to stay with my grandparents in Suffolk for a few weeks, which I often did. And I told them about my project, and they too were quite excited. So they decided that we would go out on as many little trips as possible to visit different castles and cathedrals in the area. So that's what we did. We went out on lots of different day trips. I took photographs and I wrote down all the information I could get about each place that we'd visited. And then after getting the photos printed off or developed, probably as it was back then, I got working on my project. And I remember spending days putting it all together, making it all look nice and neat and getting all that information in. And I was really quite proud of what I'd done. So when school started again and it came for the time for me to hand in my project along with my friends, I remember one of my friends boasting about how they hadn't really spent a lot of time on their project and they hadn't even bothered to visit anywhere. In fact, what they'd done is just found some brochures or magazines, cut out some pictures of castles and cathedrals, and then they pretended that they'd visited them. Now, I remember just thinking to myself, well, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because I doubt she's going to get a very good mark for that. However, When we got our projects back, I was horrified to discover that my friend had got a considerably higher mark than me. I was so annoyed. I just didn't feel that she deserved to get that mark. And what's more, I felt that the teacher should have known that actually she hadn't bothered to visit any of these places that she'd written about. Don't worry, I didn't tell on her. But that experience left me really feeling quite bitter, if I'm honest. I think a part of me hoped that maybe she would be found out at some point. Or maybe the next time we gave in some work for our history teacher, maybe my friend would have got a really bad mark, and then I would have probably felt quite pleased with myself. Maybe I would have thought, well, that was her just deserves. Or even, well, what goes around comes around. I wonder if you have ever felt like that about somebody else or a situation. Have you ever hoped that when someone doesn't get what they deserve, that eventually they will? I want to tell you now a story about a lady called Maureen. Some years ago, back in 2012, on Christmas Eve, Maureen and her husband, Alan, had been out to visit some friends and family before returning home in time for Alan to go out to play the organ for the midnight service at their local church. This is something that Alan did every Christmas Eve. So at about 11 p.m, Alan left their home and he went off down the road towards church, and Maureen went to bed. A little while later, Maureen heard an ambulance and saw the flashing lights of an ambulance pass their home, and she thought how awful that someone might be in real trouble. Well, not long after that, there was a knock on the door, and Maureen was met by a policeman who told her that Alan had been taken to hospital. When Maureen arrived at the hospital, she was met by a consultant who told her that Alan had been brutally attacked in the head and he was in a very critical condition. In fact, he was dying. And what had actually happened is that when Alan was walking down the road to church that night, two young men were walking behind him, and for whatever reason, they decided to attack him. And his injuries resulted in severe brain damage. Maureen said that when she went into that hospital bed to see her husband, he was unrecognizable. And a few days later, sadly, Alan passed away. Maureen and Alan had been married for 40 years. And Maureen recalls that many people close to her felt really outraged by this, as you could imagine, and they wanted justice, quite rightly. Maureen also wanted justice for her husband, but her approach was different. Because some of these people were saying things to her that, like, they wanted to go and find these men and do harm to them and give them what they deserved. But Maureen simply prayed to God and asked for him to help her to forgive these two men who had killed her husband. She knew this would be really difficult, and she knew that she couldn't do it in her own strength. But she also knew that this was the only way forward for her. And in Maureen's own words, she left these killers in God's hands. Fast forward a little bit to the court case where these two young men, who were just 22 years old, had been found by the police and are then put on trial for the murder of Maureen's husband, Alan. Maureen went to the court case with her two daughters, so she got to see these two men face to face. Their names were Jonathan and Ashley, and Maureen still speaks about them using their first names today. And although Maureen wanted justice for her husband, she wanted something else for these two boys. In the end, the court actually ruled a life sentence, a minimum of 25 years for Jonathan, and a 9-year sentence for Ashley as an accomplice. And although justice was served in a legal sense, Maureen was actually praying for Ashley and Jonathan to know God's love and mercy. And actually, after this court case, outside of the magistrate's court, Maureen saw the mothers of these two men, and they were looking very scared. But Maureen was able to go over to them. She hugged them, and she told them that she was praying for them and their two sons. I just think that is an incredible and a very powerful story. And if you want to read that story for yourself, or you can watch the video of Maureen telling this story, you can do that on the United Christian Broadcasters, the UCB website or Facebook page. And actually, the story has even featured in newspapers over the years because it's such an amazing story. And I just, when I heard this story, I just can't imagine what Maureen went through. And what really strikes me is how she was able to respond to such a horrendous incident. But why is it that Maureen, although she sought justice, she didn't seek just deserves for the two men that had killed her husband? How was she able to forgive them? Or why did she want to forgive them in the first place? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. Because Maureen is a Christian, and it was her faith that led her to respond the way that she did. Maureen is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus not only taught the way of forgiveness, but he also demonstrated it in his own life. And we're going to look at now a great example of this, if not the greatest example, in an event that took place right at the end of Jesus' life when he's around 33 years old. It took place in Jerusalem. This was the place where Jesus had been arrested and sentenced to death by crucifixion, which was the Roman penalty for serious crimes back then. But Jesus had not committed any crimes against the Roman authorities. And in fact, the Roman governor who oversaw his trial, a man called Pilate, had even admitted this. However, it wasn't the Romans who had a problem with Jesus. It was the Jewish religious leaders who were offended by claims that Jesus was the Son of God. And they'd pushed this case up to the Roman authorities. And in the end, Jesus is sentenced wrongly and crucified, executed. And he's alongside two other criminals who were thieves. They are nailed and bound to wooden crosses in a method of execution that was intended to be both excruciating and prolonged. So there we have Jesus suffering on his cross alongside two other people, two criminals paying the price for their crimes. By this stage, Jesus has already been beaten and tortured by Roman soldiers. He's been mocked, spat on, and a crown of sharp thorns forced onto his head. And if that wasn't enough, while Jesus is there hanging from the cross in agony and dying, he was continually mocked by religious leaders and passers-by. And even the Roman soldiers on duty were hurling insults at him. And they were also gambling over his clothes right before his eyes. It's an unimaginable scene. But listen to what Jesus says. He says this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." What an incredible thing to say in that situation. And as we read on about the story in Luke's account, which is found in the New Testament part of the Bible, we read that even one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save us and save yourself." He was mocking Jesus. But let's look at the other criminal, because his response is different. The other criminal rebuked him. That's the criminal who was hurling insults. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And I think the next part is amazing, because this criminal then looks over to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." I love this dialogue between Jesus and the two criminals. I think it tells us so much. Firstly, this whole scenario really speaks into the injustice and unfairness in the world. Because here we have Jesus, an innocent man, giving the type of punishment that was reserved for the worst of criminals. And then we have these two guilty men, two criminals either side of him. One is abusive towards Jesus and doesn't really appear remorseful in any way. But then the other one takes a different approach. He recognizes what's going on. He actually accepts that he and the other criminal deserve this punishment because they are guilty. He takes responsibility. But he also sees that Jesus is innocent and does not deserve to die on a cross. And this criminal, although he cannot escape the consequences of his actions and the fact that he's going to die because of them, he recognizes that in Jesus there is hope. He believes, in fact, that Jesus really is the Son of God. And we know that because he asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom, meaning the kingdom of God. And I think we can also learn a lot here by what Jesus didn't say to that criminal. Jesus didn't say to him, "Well, sorry, mate, you've made your bed, now you've got to lie in it. That's just the way it is." And he didn't say, "Don't you know what goes around comes around? You're getting what you deserve." No, Jesus didn't say those things. Jesus simply says to him, today you will be with me in paradise, meaning that this criminal will get eternal life in the kingdom of God. That doesn't sound like much of a punishment for a criminal, does it? And that's because obviously it is not. It is quite the opposite. Jesus offers this man something that he has not earned and that he does not deserve and that can only be given to him by God, the forgiveness of his sins. And in fact, this is the reason that Jesus is dying on the cross in the first place. This innocent man is paying a price that is not his to pay, but that he chooses to pay for the sake of humanity. Jesus sacrificed his own life so that others might have eternal life in him. And that's because Jesus was not just an innocent man unjustly punished, but because he was and is God in the flesh, God in human form, which is why he's called the Son of God. So when we think of Jesus dying on the cross, it is not just a man suffering. It's not just a human being. It is also God suffering for us. And he didn't have to do that. But God loves us so much that he cannot bear the separation between us and him. He cannot bear to see a world where so many people have turned away from him and have chosen a path that leads to destruction. So God did something about it, something that only he could do. He came to earth in human form as Jesus, and he experienced death so that we don't have to. Even though physical death is a fact of life for all of us, the kind of death that God wants to save us from is spiritual death, separation from him. And that's what that criminal recognized on the cross. We were never meant to live in a world that was broken and corrupt, but we do. And God has made a way so that we don't have to live here forever. But God will never force his will upon us. He gives us the freedom to choose. To choose whether we want to make our home in this temporary world where there is suffering and death and injustice, or whether we want to make our home in his kingdom where there is peace and eternal life. God loves us unconditionally, but he doesn't force us to love him back. And that is why Jesus said to that criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What had this criminal done to deserve that kind of reward? Well, nothing, actually. But what he did do was he recognized his wrongdoing, and he did acknowledge who Jesus really was. And by his own free will, he turns to God in his final moments of life. He turns to this suffering God, this saving God, and he gets that reward of eternal life. We may or may not get what we deserve in this life, that is true. And don't get me wrong, we need rules and regulations and we need justice systems in this world. This world desperately needs justice. Because actually a world where there's actions without consequences would be devastating. But God offers us so much more than this, so much more than the life that we see or deserve here on earth. Because he freely gives us his grace, which is his unmerited and undeserved favor. Because in the kingdom of God, we don't get what we deserve. We get so much more than that. And if you're listening or you're watching today, and maybe you've never heard about the grace of God, you've never heard about the forgiveness and mercy that God freely offers you and the price he paid for that, I just want to pray for you right now. Loving God, Lord, if anyone who is listening or watching right now, Lord, is just hearing these things for the first time, I just want to pray that you will bless them. I want to pray, Lord, that you will reveal to them how much you love them. Reveal to them, Lord, that price you paid, that Jesus paid on the cross, so that they might know you and have a relationship with you. And in that, Lord, you offer us freedom from the things we are enslaved to in this world and forgiveness from the sins that weigh us down and the guilt and the shame that we feel. And Lord, thank you that you give us eternal life in your kingdom that we don't deserve and we haven't earned. but Lord, is the greatest reward we could ever imagine. Amen. And maybe you're watching or listening today as somebody who's been a follower of Jesus for some time. And I think there's always a challenge in this, isn't there? And I just want to ask all of us, are we looking at others and hoping that they will get what they deserve in life? Or are we hopeful that they will find the undeserved favor of God? That they will know his love, his mercy, and his saving grace? So let's just pray together now. Lord, just thank you for your word today. Thank you that we were able to just look at that scene where Jesus was on the cross with those two men, two criminals. Lord, we come to you today. Maybe we feel guilty in our hearts. Maybe we are guilty. Whatever it is, you don't look at our guilt. You don't look at our sin or our shame. You look at who we are, your children who you love. And Jesus, you gave your life so that we could spend eternity with you. And one day, everything will be put right in your kingdom where there is peace and love. There's no more mourning and no more crying. And there will be justice. And Lord, we are just so grateful for all that you've done for us. Amen. We're now going to listen to some songs that remind us of what Jesus has done for us and also how God makes a way in our lives. And it's also a time where we can respond, continue to respond to what we feel God is saying to us today, and have some time of worship together.